Hello and welcome back to the Vox Pop WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Some are fearing the furor over a retracted Rolling Stone article may deter some rape victims from coming forward. University of Virginia President Teresa Sullivan went so far as to say it, quote, damaged serious efforts to address the issue of rape on college campuses. Rape has been reported for thousands of years of human history, and it has rarely been without controversy. There's even a case of it in the Bible. The Genesis 39, the wife of a Pharaoh's captain of the guard accuses Joseph of a rape he did not commit, and he is in prison. Police officials in Virginia said last month that investigators had found no evidence to back the claims of the alleged victim, and now the fraternity that's implicated by the Rolling Stone article is threatening to sue the publication. The publication, meanwhile, has refused to fire the editors responsible for the story and will still work with the writer, Sabrina Rubin Erdely. So how do we handle all of this? How should the media handle rape allegations going forward? Our wonderful hero, our heroine, University Albany journalism professor Rosemary Armeo is here, and we're going to have a frank discussion with Rosemary. It's always frank. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, and of course, if you want to, you can just send us an email at voxpop@wamc.org, and we would be delighted to get your email. Okay, so Rosemary, can you sort of parse this for us?
Tell us what you think. Well, back in November, Rolling Stone ran, and there's no other word for it, sensational cover story on the topic of rape on campus, which you still a big topic, but you may remember then it was getting really heated up because the president had made it an issue that we were going to stop a casual treatment of rape. This was going to become serious, so it was going to be action taken, and he's pushed that to his credit. So Rolling Stone comes out with this absolutely sensational story about a gang rape at the University of Virginia. And it begins from the point of view of Jackie. That's simply how the woman is identified. She is the victim. No further identification, not even her full first name. And she claims to have been brought to a party at a fraternity at the University of Virginia, pushed kind of into a room and against a table, a glass coffee table that breaks, whereupon seven men, members of the fraternity or people at the party, rape her. And that is the story. It's in incredible detail. Horrible, horrible situation. And then it goes on to detail how none of the accused men were stopped, were questioned. The university just is unresponsive. The story caused a firestorm both on the campus and around the whole country. It went viral, if you will. And then it quickly fell apart as other publications, Slate and Washington Post, began looking into it. It fell apart utterly. They found that friends who had spoken with Jackie that same night did not get the same story from her, nor did police get the same story from her that she gave to Rolling Stone. They couldn't find the men, especially the leader who she identified as a lifeguard, who's she named, they called him Drew. That was probably made up, too. It was made up. They could not find him. They couldn't even find that there was actually a party at the fraternity on the night she said it all happened. And so eventually the magazine moved away from the story and apologized. And then you have the staff of Columbia Journalism Review, of the Columbia Journalism School of Journalism and the graduate school. Sheila Cornell is the main writer and researcher. She's an amazing, both of them. Steve Call and Sheila are both amazing investigative reporters. They know how it should have been done. And their report on what went wrong was equally shocking and even longer than the original cover story. And it just pointed to massive professional error. I think I told you this already, that normally when I read these kind of postmortems of what goes wrong, I always think, whew, thank gosh that wasn't me. It could have been. We could so easily have made that mistake. These were outrageous mistakes that I don't think I or any of the good reporters I know would have been guilty of.
So a couple of follow-up questions, sure. Rosemary. Number one, should the editor and the writer have been fired?
I believe they should be, and I'm not convinced that they still won't be. There's been a lot of feedback against that initial protective statement from the publisher saying these are not people who deliberately set out to do wrong. They made a mistake. We're sorry that mistake was made. We're going to do better in the future. I just don't think that cuts it. No, No, these are grievous mistakes.
And number two, I was fascinated just having a brief word with you before you came in here about the role of the Columbia Journalism Review. Did they run any risk in doing this?
I'm not sure what the risk is. It's kind of, they're being lauded, of course. It's a great report, a great postmortem. They did it free of charge, I believe. Rolling Stone agreed to pay for expenses, but they did it free otherwise. And, of course, because of their platform with Columbia Journalism Review, they gave it huge, huge play.
Generally regarded as the number one journalism school in the country?
Yes, I would say so, absolutely.
Yeah.
And their magazine, the Columbia Journalism Review, is a major monitoring agency for journalists. So for them to say there's a problem here, it brings a lot of attention to. It was the talk of our journalism school, our journalism program yesterday, and it will be, I think, throughout the country for years to come. Here's how you don't do it.
Okay, we'll go to Pamela and Troy. We welcome your calls. We want your calls. That's what this program is all about. That's why they call it the Vox Pop. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Pamela in Troy. Okay, Pamela, you're on.
Good afternoon. One of the things that's been puzzling me about this situation is that when the article first came out, there were interviews with students both at that college and at various others, and students were saying, yeah, this sort of thing happens pretty commonly. And all of a sudden, nobody's talking about that side of it. Nobody seems to be doing any further follow-up. I think it's rather like the exit polls for the Gore election, where you know they showed that people had voted as they did, but we're not getting the recount on this either. I think that somebody's missing the ball on following up to find out what is really happening to other students all over the country, and you know, focusing on this one very unfortunate incident is skewing the perception of the problem.
So do you think it's irresponsible, Pamela, just may I ask you, to be covering the story the way that we are?
I don't think I'd say that. I think that it certainly is important to make sure that journalism is done completely and fairly and so forth. And so if this was obviously a major screw-up and deserves to be analyzed and dealt with. But unfortunately, in the process, it also skews the original intent of the article, which is a serious problem and that has been documented in a number of ways in other places. And so the whole thing has turned into a really crazy situation.
I think you're right, Pamela, that we've heard of a lot of attention being put on the fraternity, which says it will sue, and on the university, which could also sue. But what about all of the women who have been wronged, really treated badly on campuses, really ignored? Their cases have not been been handled right. And does that all go away now? This story absolutely hurt that. And you're right, in a way, all of the follow-up that we're doing to try to figure out what happened and make sure it doesn't happen again is not helping. I would be, if you were, God forbid, if you were raped or sexually assaulted on a campus right now, especially UVA, but really any place,
sure,
wouldn't you have some qualms about going to the administration right
sure
now? You're going to be called, oh, another Jackie.
Sure.
Terrible damage.
Yeah, that's exactly my concern with this, is that because we've gotten distracted by the horrible reporting, we've lost track of the horrible problem that is still there.
I totally think you're right. I know that many feminists are worried about that exact same thing. You know, the other interesting thing was that when the story came out, this is back in November, and as I already mentioned, almost immediately it begins to be attacked and called flaky, and soon the problems began to emerge. And yet at that time, there were demonstrations all over UVA, forget other schools, but at UVA, from women who were saying, it could have been me. Not, oh, this didn't happen, we don't believe it, but that could have been me. They knew that it had the ring of truth to it, that the problem itself at the core was real.
Pamela, we're going to have to take a break now. We thank
That's
you.
That's my
for
concern.
Your,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
We are going to take a short break. We'll be back, and Suzanne and Larry will be on with us, and many other people with your calls, 1-800-348-2551.
Thank you. Support comes from Mabee Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, New York, presenting Kurt Vonnegut in Schenectady with Professor K.A. Laity, Saturday, April 11th at 2 p.m., schenectadyhistorical.org. Autobahn Service, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, offering service, repair, and diagnosis of imports, specializing in late-model Volkswagen, Audi, and BMW. AutobahnTechnic.com. Washington County Tourism, announcing Farm and Fiber Tour, self-guided tour featuring spinning, knitting, and weaving demonstrations, showcasing alpacas, goats, sheep, April 25th and 26th, WashingtonNYCounty.com. Habitat Post and Beam, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, designing and manufacturing energy-efficient post and beam homes and additions throughout the Northeast since 1972. PostandBeam.com. Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts, conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture and chiropractic therapy. Comprehensive pet care and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com. And the Whistling Kettle, featuring Tea of the Month Clubs, Tea Discovery, Wellness Tea, Herbal and Caffeine-Free Tea, and more. TheWhistlingKettle.com for catalog and online ordering.
We're back, and we're talking to our wonderful Rosemary Armeo, who's such a huge part of what we do here. We are so lucky to have her, and she's so nice to come in and do this with us. We'll go to Suzanne in Scroon Lake. Okay, Suzanne, 1-800-348-2551. You're on, Suzanne.
Hello, Alan.
Hey.
Hi. One thing I wanted to say that I don't think I've heard, it seems to me Rolling Stone did the right thing asking the Columbia School to investigate this. You don't get that very often when there's a journalistic furor.
Actually, you do get it in the really good places. The most famous case is Jason Blair, who was a serial fabulist and plagiarist for the New York Times. And the New York Times put its own crack staff of investigative reporters on finding out what happened. They ran 8 pages. In this case, the CJR, the Columbia Journalism Review, went to Rolling Stone and said, we will investigate. So it isn't like they requested it. But they quickly, they did comply. They absolutely complied. They turned over all kinds of documents. They opened up their staff for interviews by the academics, and they agreed to pay all expenses. They didn't take money.
Well,
but they did.
Thought I had heard that they did request it, but no, right? Is that a mistake?
As I understand it, it was Columbia Journalism Review who offered.
Okay.
But still, here's one other thing.
This will
help them when they are
sued.
As I think they will be sued, because they will say, "See, we did the right thing. We tried to."
So it's so hard. It's so hard, Suzanne, to figure out what people's motives are.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it could have been protective. But in the end, it certainly was the right thing, I think.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. And they must have known it was going to be awful.
Yeah, they had to have. You know, and Suzanne, just as long as we have you on the phone, what do you think about not firing the editor or the reporter?
I don't know. That's always such that's often a vengeful thing to do. I don't know that that's appropriate.
Well, the reason, I certainly agree with you about not doing it if you can avoid it. But the reason it might be important to do is it sort of says you can't do this. You just can't do this without serious consequences.
And that would help in the lawsuit situation, probably.
Absolutely, it would.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that one of the good reasons to fire somebody is incompetence, and there was really gross incompetence in here.
Clearly. Mm-hmm. Very clearly, yes. Oh, thank you.
Thank you,
Suzanne.
Good questions.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. I can practically guarantee you a chance to get your voice on the phone about this very story right now. Let's go to Larry in Ravenna. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. Larry, you're on.
Hi. I kind of like to echo what the previous caller just said about it was credible of Rolling Stone to go ahead and call for an investigation when it became apparent their story was falling apart. In a way, you could say, well, that's the way things are supposed to work. You report something, and if other people check it and they find there's issues, Somebody goes back and takes another look, and they go ahead and investigate it and correct it. So in a sense, that was the good news. My problem is I'm wondering how often that happens when it's not just one publication, but a lot of them buy into the same narrative and the story. And, of course, I'm thinking of the run-up to the invasion of Iraq, where there are all these terrible threats we were told that were waiting for us, and they had people testifying that this was going to be really bad, and then when it was all said and done and they went in afterwards, they found out that a lot of this stuff just wasn't true. And yet you don't see all that much yet on the press saying they were bamboozled or they reported what they wanted to say. And I think a lot of that is, A, they were embarrassed as a group. They all sort of hung together on this. And B, there are a lot of powerful people involved that they're going to have to keep dealing with, and they were kind of reluctant to call them out on it. So I'm wondering if you could put that in perspective of this Rolling Stone article.
Yeah, that's interesting, Larry. I think that you're right. The walk up to the Iraq War was a massive breakdown in the American media. They were analyses of what happened. I don't know if the public is as interested in those. I know in the press, the stuff we read on our own trade has had lots of this, and of course it had to do with trying to look patriotic after 9/11. We were going to be supportive of the government, and that's when you begin seeing, this was the time when you began seeing TV broadcasters who would have flags on their lapel pin. They were patriots,
and
they were
going to support it. And what was the name of the woman, Judith Miller?
Yeah, Judith Miller did terrible reporting, and worse it was for the New York Times, which if they had reported it differently, if they had done what, for example, the McClatchy papers did, that's the only chain I know of that actually raised questions about what was really going on in Iraq. Was it different from what the government was telling us? If they had had the same clout, I don't know that we would have ended up in that war.
And by the way, I just think I read something this weekend about Miller still defending herself.
She still does. She's very proud. The New York Times did, years later, when Bill Kelleher was the head of the newsroom, they did apologize for Judith Miller, but by then we were already embroiled in the mess that has now become the quagmire that you see in the Mideast. So that answers your question of what happens when there's massive group failure by newspapers. It is not a pretty or good thing.
Waist deep in the big muddy.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Larry. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll go to Audrey in Schenectady. Audrey, you're on.
Hi. I have been listening to your coverage about this issue. I actually have a subscription to Rolling Stone magazine, and I read that article. And it seems to me that the professional and the legal have taken precedence over the personal, that I, as a woman, don't ever walk down the street any time after 6 p.m. without wondering if I'm going to be raped. That this brouhaha that you folks are making about this article eclipses the fact that on campuses, women are raped more than ever before. And I don't know about the rape stats in America, but it's certainly, as I listen to the BBC at night, rape is way up all around the planet. So focusing on these pie in the sky stuff, no.
Okay, Audrey, would you rather we hadn't covered this?
No, but I think you're missing the personal. I think you're missing the fact that women are raped more on campuses. That the intention of the article, I believe the gal, like Libby said on Monday, I believe her. I believe she was raped. I'm not sure. In terms of, you're focusing strictly on journalism, right? But
no, not right.
Kind of ignoring the stats about women being raped more on campus.
Hey, Audrey, I don't think that's fair. I think we have said over and over and over again that our greatest fear is that people will be able to rape more easily as a result of bad journalism.
That's right. I don't believe this woman was raped. I think something might have happened. But here's the thing. If you actually report on the crime of rape, and I have many friends who did, there's a wonderful report right now in the Belleville News Democrat written about how rape is ignored by prosecutors and police. and they talked to not one. That's the real problem here. This article relies on one rape victim, but on the dozens of women. They talked to dozens of women, and everyone said, use my name. Here's who did it to me. Here's all the information I have. If you want to stop rape, you and you're working with a journalist, and that's not every woman. I understand that. But if that's what you're doing, then you really do work with the journalist so that the whole story comes out. Jackie is not to blame for this. The journalists are. Let me make that clear. However, Jackie did no service to herself or to other women who may or in the future get raped.
Then why isn't she to blame for it?
Well, because I do think something happened to her. She went through some sort of trauma, and I don't know why she lied or hid or changed the story. I don't know that. I'm not a psychiatrist, but it isn't she who put the
story
in the
paper. But certainly you and Audrey believe that there have been false accusations of rape in the past, right?
Unfortunately, yes, and I think those get over exaggerated. I think that we just like we always talk about rape. Oh, men get raped too. Well, yeah, they do, but the numbers are so tiny.
Right.
Why are we talking about it?
Right.
And this is the same thing. Yes, women do report falsely, but is that the real problem? No, the real problem is rape, actual rape.
But if you're the person who has been falsely accused, let me tell you, that is certainly life-changing for you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think when the stakes are as high as they are in a story like this, which is about sexual assault on campus, the journalists have to do a better job, a sterling job, not the really crummy job that was done here.
Audrey, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's go to Mary in Asheville. Mary, you're on.
Hey, thank you both for being there. You guys get me through my morning on the roundtable.
Great.
Thank you.
I'm very grateful for your coverage of this, and I'm horrified that the editors have not been held responsible. Well, I applaud one of your previous callers saying, you know, you never want to do that out of vengeance. This is due diligence.
Yeah.
What it has done to women's rights, and we had just started to make some sort of progress. The past week, and I could easily be wrong on the place, I believe it was Pittsfield, there were, I think, three young men who were accused, and the judge actually gave them time, which is enormous. It's sad to say that's enormous, but it is.
It was substantial time, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I got a letter because I wrote a column about how can anybody do this kind of thing. Just wondrous thing. How could you possibly rape another human being?
I know. It's a horrible crime.
How could you do this? And I got a very thoughtful letter from a friend of the parents of the kid who was going away as a result of this, saying, you know, you don't get it. There's a nice family. There was an aberration. It was this. It was that. So there are always people who are second guessing you, no matter what you do.
I think that people don't want to look because it's a terrifying prospect that every 170 seconds in this country, someone is sexually assaulted.
Yeah, I always do worry about where is all this rage coming? Why are women so disliked? But, Mary, you know, one thing I have to disagree with, the editors are responsible. I think they are, and I think an editor should be responsible. But the person most responsible is the woman who wrote the story. I've been a reporter and I've been an editor. And she, you know, when you're covering up something in a story, when there's a hole in it, and you kind of write the best you can, hope your editor doesn't see it, but you know it's there. She knew she didn't speak to the three friends who were with Jackie the night this supposedly happened. Those were essential sources. She knew she didn't have it.
Well, I agree with you on that. I'm sorry, I was mistaken. I thought she did lose her job.
No. Oh, no. She's actually a freelancer. She's listed on, like, a contributing editor to the magazine, and they have said no, they would use her again, which I find unbelievable. Would you believe anything she wrote again? I sure wouldn't.
Crazy, because it does, like you were saying, that it makes it, I was raped in college, and it was like 20 years ago, and unfortunately, the awareness has not come much further, but nobody talked about it, and I remember a friend of mine took me to the hospital, the whole school board showed up.
Wow.
With a police officer, and after that, no one contacted me, and I didn't know what you were supposed to do, and I had the guy's friends or people he knew him literally stalking me. I woke up with a pillow over my head one night.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's common. Like, that's what horrifies me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a terrible problem. And again, that's why I have such a reaction to this story, which has set back the reporting and the talking and the solving of problems that you're describing.
So what do we do? do, I mean, I've written letters and I continue to talk about it. I have no shame sharing because that's part of the stigma.
Well, that's what you should do.
We can
you're
only
exactly right.
share.
Absolutely.
But part of the dynamic of rape is that you're told by the perpetrator to keep it quiet or they'll harm you again.
Right.
So how do we get Obama and all of these people who are able to pass legislation to get programs going other than letters?
You know, Mary, I actually think we have made progress in that regard, both in New York State and at the national level. We are seeing steps taken by politicians and by even police and prosecutors to do better on rape. This story, violation of trust, running in the Chicago, it's south of Chicago right now, huge. It's a huge thing. And women have to stand together and support each other and talk up.
How about us men who
and
have
men,
daughters?
And feminists, yes.
One out
men,
of four
that's
men.
Right. That's right, exactly.
I mean, six, sorry.
I do believe that the press has not helped in one thing, and this is controversial. We don't name rape victims because we kind of...
Yeah, you've always had that position.
I have always had the position, and now I wouldn't say, oh, we're going to force you. You were raped, and now you're going to be raped again. We're going to put your name in the paper. But if it were I, God forbid, I would want my name in. I would give as much information as I could. I think those women felt that who are talking in Chicago. I once covered the trial of a man who was accused of 100 rapes. It was an outrageous case in Akron, Ohio. And those women stood up together in a group. They wanted their names out, and they wanted to say, we didn't do anything, do something about
Mary,
it.
Mary, I'm so sorry, but we got a lot of people behind you, and we want to thank you for your call.
Yeah,
very
I
helpful.
Liked your call, Mary. Thank you.
Take care. Yeah.
Let's go to Jeff in LaGrangeville. Okay, Jeff, you're on.
I'll make it quick because what people are sharing is much more important than what I have to share. But I just wanted to let you know, because Rosemary was very adamant about firing or terminating this person, that we, in a completely unrelated incident, just received an official determination from the New York State Department of Labor that incompetence is not a valid reason for terminating someone's employment.
Wow.
And that's all I wanted to share.
Wow.
Anyway, go on to other callers. They have far more important things to share than I do.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Okay.
Bye.
Let's go to Sarah in Amherst. Okay, Sarah, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm pretty similar to Mary. Personally, I was raped in high school and never reported it. I can share now. You know, it took me years to share, but I'm thinking about this article and how much it's setting us back, and it just feels almost archaic. And I was terrified to report it because of what it would do to my family, and I also was scared of the justice system not doing what they needed to do to the man who raped me. And you know, here we are again. It's just extremely frustrating. You know, it's hard enough getting credibility as a rape victim. And this comes out, it's extremely frustrating. It's very emotional.
Thank you for sharing that, Sarah. I can totally understand why you are frustrated. It is indeed, and it's why that story is so massively a bad thing for journalism and for women. Yeah.
Awful. It just set us back in.
Yep.
It's taking the credibility of people who have the courage to report it. And I'm sad I didn't have the courage to report my rape. But
did your parents get involved in it at all?
No, they don't. They still don't know.
Interesting.
Oh,
you know,
that's a hard burden you've been carrying, Sarah. I'm sorry.
Sarah, thank you very much. I appreciate your call
a
lot. Yeah,
okay.
We're going to take a very brief break, 7 seconds or so. James and Ted and Howard and Chris will be right with you.
Support comes from Skidmore Departments of Music and Dance presenting Tchaikovsky's Sleeping Beauty with 80 dancers and 73 musicians at Zankel Friday through Sunday, skidmore.edu/Zankel. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com. Underground Railroad History Project, 14th Public History Conference, Breaking Free, Civil War, Emancipation, and Beyond, April 17th through 18th at Russell Sage College, Troy, April 19th at the Myers Residence in Albany. UndergroundRailroadHistory.org. Valley Home Improvement, designing and building kitchens and bathrooms, interiors and additions throughout the Pioneer Valley. Love your home, valleyhomeimprovement.com. Berkshire Co-op Market, in collaboration with Berkshire South Regional Community Center, presenting Get Unplugged, a week of educational programs for youth during school vacation. BerkshireCoop.com. And Lori Ilvesacker, Coldwell Banker, Village Green Realty, Woodstock, a professional realtor with 30 years of experience specializing in the greater Woodstock area home market and in finding acreage for building new. 845-901-6129.
And we are back. Thank you all for calling. We're in the wrap-up round, so let's keep these as short as we can, and we'll get Rosemary Armeo's reaction. She is our star, and we are delighted that she's found this time to do this with us. Let's go to James in Hudson. James, you're on.
Hi. Yes, I'll be short and quick. I just want to say, my comment was: does anyone remember Tawana Brawley?
Need.
Sure.
That whole farce, because I'm saying my age, because that was like in the 80s. But that set everyone back like so much, and that, you know, because it was the truth. Yes. It's like the absolute fabrication. And this is like, no one comes out of this story looking good.
Yeah, you're right. Good observation.
James.
Okay. Well,
James, thank you for the call, as always. We really appreciate it.
Okay, great. Bye.
Let's go to Howard in New Paltz. Howard, you're on.
Oh, hi. I just have a couple of quick comments. Well, I have two daughters in their 20s now. And from when they're old enough to at least hear what I have to say, I would tell them, you're targets for every guy that's around on this planet. As soon as they're born, they become targets. Women are targets for every guy's frustration, sexual appetites, all of it. And whenever you go to a party or something like that, you got to tell them right off, who's ever at that party, don't even do this. Don't even try.
Howard, we're having trouble hearing you. Could you speak directly into the phone receiver, please?
I'm just saying, I told them, when you go to a party or something and there's alcohol and sometimes there's drugs, you tell whoever the guys that are there from the beginning when you walk in the door, don't think about even trying anything. And they have to kind of stay a little bit more sober than some women do, some girls. That's so, about it.
So Howard, you're saying, and I think somewhat controversially and unfairly, that every male is out to rape every female?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is that hormone that...
You're saying that women have to always be on their guard.
Constantly, all the time.
Yeah, that's a terrible way to live, too. Yes.
So when you say, but you use the word targets, Howard.
I find that's the best way for me to go is right to the bullseye.
Okay, thank you, Howard. Appreciate it. All
right. Yeah, there are many cultures in the world who remind women that they are targets, and in fact try to restrict their freedoms because they play on that fear. Don't drive because you can be pulled out of your car and raped by the roadside. That's what the Saudis say. So I can understand the desire of a father to protect his children, okay. And yet you can't live that way.
No. Let's go to Ted in Shelburne, Vermont. Ted, you're on.
Yes, thank you very much. One thing first, I'll try to do most important first, but there is a conference which it's too late to sign up for, but it's in Albany next week, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. And the website is preventchildabuseny.org. That's just something that I've sort of been aware of, and I'm interested in the whole issue. I won't go right now to whether anybody should be fired or what the story was, but at the root of the problem, kind of, or at the root of where improvements can be made is, and again, if you still have a pencil, to Google, is ROE 2009 research report. And that gets you to the roots of empathy. I mean, it gets you to the mission clearly and shortly stated, and research over a period of time. And it's a program that's been going for a long time, and it deals with getting minds on the on a sociologically appropriate track, kind of, in elementary school, which is where people, young people, are so good at paying attention and learning.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ted.
This is something that can be done. Okay, and also there is another example. I mean, just so people can see examples of what's going on, and what if you report a rape at a college, for example.
Uh-huh.
Middlebury Unmasked, you can find on YouTube. And it explains the issue from the victim's point of view and how it what it's like when you report and go through the process.
Interesting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the chance.
Bye. Let's go to Chris in Dutchess County. Chris.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to your guest today, and, I know that you feel that men who get raped aren't such a big deal, but, for instance, I'm a man. I was raped by a woman. And when I tried to press charges, I had people laugh at me about it. It was so disturbing. It was painful because, okay, granted, you know, understanding women get raped, and I don't agree with that, but when a man gets raped, it's disregarded. And I just wish that would be more knowledgeable. And I'm saying not every guy out there is out to rape a woman, because, you know, my associates, people I associate with, aren't like that. And if we were, we would do something about it, like, you know, involving the law or whatnot. But as a rape victim, I mean, being a man, which I'm not embarrassed by, I'm disgusted by it.
Right.
I looked at women completely different from that day on.
That's a shame. I'm sorry you went through that, Chris, and I don't want you to think that I don't think it's important. I just think...
I know the number and the statistics aren't
exactly
up, like you said.
Yeah, exactly.
But not the individual
cases, though. What you went through sounds horrible.
And a lot of men out there don't step up and say that. And believe it or not, men do say no. But you get the woman drunk enough, and vice versa, how, you know, like the gentleman was saying, guys goes to a party and have everybody say, yo, don't pack up. That should just become a knowledge of the man who he is to just respect a woman, because it's just wrong. You know, picture if it was your mom, what would you do? But on my end, the way I look at women is so different now. Like when I have two older sisters, I look at them differently. I look at my own mother differently. And it scarred me. It emotionally brought me to a way, like, I'm single. You know, I've dated and I've ended relationships within the first month. I was like, I'm good. I don't want to be with you. And it was probably... Maybe my soon-to-be wife.
Chris, thank you very much. We're trying to get everybody in here. We're almost at the end of the show.
Thank you for taking my call. Have a good day.
Good, interesting point. Let's go to Jill in Waterford, 1-800-348-2551. Jill, you're on.
Hi. I had sent you guys an email.
Yes, I have it right in front of me. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure I'd be able to call in because I'm at work.
Okay.
But... I want to know what will become of Jackie if she is going to be punished for false accusations. She has set women back.
Yeah.
She has falsely accused these guys. She has spoiled the reputation of a university. And my thought is that if women or anyone who falsely accuses anyone of rape, if they were punished, that might deter others from doing it and then possibly make it more believable to the public.
Jill, I'm going to cut you.
The University of Virginia is looking into bringing disciplinary charges against her. She cannot be charged because she didn't say anything false to the police. She told them a completely story than she told the newspaper, the Rolling Stone.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. She told them something different, which should have been another hint to the paper to check into it. But her lawyer reports that she's much troubled. It's stirring up all kinds of old bad feelings because of these new...
But Rosemary, but Jill...
complaints about her.
One second. Jill makes a very interesting point. If somebody were to yell bomb in a high school, right, you would want that person punished.
There's a law about that, though. There's not a law about saying... Okay, talking baloney to a reporter. There's no law against that. You can say anything you want to
talk to her. I'm so sorry that I'm not up on this, but when she talked to the police, she gave a more accurate story of what happened?
I don't know if it's more accurate. The police have come out and said we can't continue this investigation. There's nothing to support it, but she did give a different story.
Jill, you raise a very important question. I'm so sorry we can't spend more time. We can't. Let's go to Kevin in Hobart. Kevin, you're on.
Hi. Just wanted to make the comment that there's a lot of men out there that support women to come forward when they've been raped.
Sure.
I want people to understand that, the vast majority of us think that it's a disgusting thing, it's not right, and we do support you, and we do want to see people come forward, man or woman.
Go, Kevin. Your mother raised you right.
Thank you, Kevin. Let's go to Larry. Okay, Larry and Beckett, you're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear a take from Rosemary and yourself about how this compares to the Duke lacrosse team.
Yeah.
And to, what's the press's culpability in the whole thing? Because, rape is looking less genuine now.
Yeah, it's true. It's not the press to blame, I think, in the Duke University situation. They reported accurately what was happening in the criminal investigation, and it later turned out that the prosecutors were carried out a baseless case. It had the same end result in that, once again, we have a woman who's crying rape when it didn't happen. So it didn't help women, didn't help the issue of stopping rape on campus, but it's just who is to blame in that situation.
Larry, I wish I could give you my take on it, only I'm trying to get everybody in before the end of the hour.
So
if it's okay with you,
get the next one.
We're going to move on. Okay.
Okay.
And let's go to Carl in Ashfield. Okay, Carl.
Yeah, this is a word of concern for possible increase in violence towards women, and rape isn't so much about sex as it is about control and aggression towards women, and the correlation between that and the easily accessible pornography on the internet, especially with youth today in their teens and 20s, there's just no restriction on it, and it gives them this mindset towards women, that they're asking for it, that it's just sexual objects. There's already been many cases of the date rape or gang rape on campuses. And this mindset is bad enough without this prevalence of pornography on the internet. But it's just really uncontrolled and sort of protected in some sense by freedom of speech and press. I don't agree with that protection, but that's my comment regarding
this. This is harder for me, Carl, because I both believe in protection for women against rape and in free speech. And you can't make laws based on the weirdos who are going to look at pornography and say, okay, I can do that. This isn't make-believe. There's got to be some other solution.
Well, there will always be people who say that the sexualization of America, 5-inch heels, 6-inch heels, stilettos.
I'm against stilettos, too, though, Alan.
Okay, yeah, but short skirts and this and that plays into this narrative of, quote, asking for it. There is no excuse whatsoever for anybody ever making somebody do something against their will. I don't care how you dress. I don't care what you're doing. It's just crazy. I think we're all together on that, aren't we?
Yeah, I would say so.
I don't think that it's not an excuse. I'm just saying that it changes the perception.
Right.
There's a certain population, mostly men, unfortunately, but and then it's perception of how men are looked at. Because again, we're not all that way.
Okay, Carl, only because your phone call is not getting through to us that easily, we thank you for your call, and we appreciate the point you've made. Okay, let's go to Robert in Niskayuna, 1-800-348-2551. Robert, you're on.
Okay, first of all, the reporter should be terminated. If I recall correctly, she gave a speech up at Middlebury College in the last year, the title of which was something like In Defense of Biased Reporting or Biased Journalism, I think was the topic of the talk. So she had an agenda. Rolling Stone is not a serious publication. It's a junk publication.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true, Robert. Rolling Stone.
We can agree to disagree.
Rolling Stone began as a culture magazine and a music magazine, but it has done some really terrific investigative reporting, including on a general in the
right. But this
Iraq
article,
would,
but this article clearly is not an example of that.
That's
the,
true.
Frat at UVA is going to sue the university as well as, I think, Jackie. And I think they have an excellent case, and they should prevail. They've been defamed. And you have to read the Washington Post. I don't know if Rosemary's read all the articles.
Paul Farr's story in the Washington Post, yes, he did a great
piece
on
this. Right,
because
you think that something still happened to Jackie, if you read that article, if you read the series of articles, including, I think, the last one, it talked about how Jackie had, not only hadn't there been a rape occur, but she never had the date. The person never even existed. She concocted it and created a false person. So the entire, not just the entire episode, but there was no assailant because there was no date, there was no person involved.
And the other thing is that
the real damage here is not just to the cause of women and whether there is going to be fewer reported rapes, but it's that, you know, just like the Duke LaCrosse case, you know, somebody almost went to jail for, could have gone to jail forever for something that didn't occur.
Well, I don't know who would have gone to jail in this case, because, as you say, there was no real assailant. I'm not sure that's true. Robert, tell me about the speech she gave. I've not heard of that.
Well, you can Google it. I mean, she gave a speech at Middlebury College. I mean, all I recall is that the topic was, you know, in defense of biased journalism. And it was a very provocative title. And, of course, this is the backstory of this article was that she picked UVA. She went up and down the East Coast looking for a suitable school, a particular rape at a particular school. And, of course, the story here was UVA's, you know, is very sort of conservative and traditional. So this was feeding into the narrative. Same thing as the Duke narrative. You said the press wasn't to blame in the Duke case. They were, because the media jumped on the narrative is, oh, these privileged white kids in a frat. This was all part of the paternalistic culture, the patrimony on a campus, and all this stuff. And it was, so it was in service of an agenda.
Robert, because we are coming to the end of the program, I thank you. I think your point has been made and very well made. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Bill in Great Barrington. Okay, Bill, go.
Hi. I simply find all the people calling for the reporter's head on this issue hypocritical. The very people who are making hay out of this whole thing are the very same people who support people on Fox News who are essentially rape apologists, and people on right-wing websites who promote violence against women and minorities and people of LGBT culture. They're looking for any way they can to be the victims here. And if there's a problem with a hypothetical story or anything else, I think they need to look at their own side. The gentleman who previously called was more than happy to start hippie punching by calling Rolling Stone junk journalism. It's obvious he hasn't done a lot of reading.
Okay, Bill, I'm going to cut you off right there because we are almost out of time. I want to just finish up with Denny from Stockbridge. Denny, you're on.
Hi. I really do think that the head should roll. I think that the reporter and the editor responsible should be let go.
Okay, because we're out of time. One fast reason why.
They're the ones out there. They're the front line. And they have a privilege, and with that privilege is the responsibility.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that's from Denny. We've cleared the board, Rosemary, and I'm delighted to say that. We're just about out of time. I want to thank, from the bottom of my heart, the wonderful Rosemary Armeo for joining us today. She is just terrific. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Houst & Son True Value, Woodstock, New York, since 1932, a local store featuring hardware, Benjamin Moore paint and tool and equipment rentals. True Value, behind every project is a True Value, HHoust.com. Stone Soup Concrete Incorporated. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, Furniture and Floors, serving the Northeast since 2001, StonesoupConcrete.com, and on Facebook. Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, website, web design and development, and graphic design for almost three decades, ShannonRose.com. The Nature Conservancy, the Nature Conservancy's Adirondack chapter, working to preserve freshwater resources that flow from the Adirondacks to New York's urban centers, nature.org/Adirondacks. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WMC.org/VoxPop. Okay, our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell and Michelle Keke. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Shartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.